Imagine the scene being a courthouse, and the defense attorney is about to give a closing argument. Coming to the close of that argument, he then says, "I have a surprise for you. Now you have been listening to evidence against my client in this murder case. But now, the person who has been presumed to be dead will walk into the courtroom through that door." The jurors are stunned by this announcement, and they all turn and they face that courtroom, anticipating what will take place. Finally, a minute passes and the attorney says, "I just want to let you know I made that up. But yet, you all looked with anticipation for someone to come through that door. And just that itself should represent reasonable doubt." So closing arguments are over. The jury goes for deliberations. After a period of time, they come back with the verdict. They're asked what it is. They say guilty. The defense lawyer jumps up and asks the foreman, "But what about the reasonable doubt that I showed in your minds? You all looked at that door." And the juror said, "Yes, we did. But your client did not." Now, there should certainly be standards of behavior, accountability, responsibility in the life in which we live. But hearing the words of Jesus, it brings to mind my own concern of our own day, of the time in which we live, in our society, in our country. How common it is every day for people to pass judgment, and with it a condemnation of others. And this results in a division amongst people, rather than us unifying to face problems and issues that we may face. We are divided. There are those who insist that they are moral guardians, those who are critics of all things. But Jesus taught, both then and for us now, that they are the target of his lessons. Those who exert pressure, those who take a hard line against others, those who set expectations that they believe should be kept, targeting those who lift up themselves and all the while tearing down others. Jesus shares a warning regarding such judgment. Those who will look down on others, those who are quick and ready to point out failures. And he uses a term that we are all familiar with, that of a hypocrite. The word hypocrite in the day was known as for one who wears a mask, one who then takes on a role other than oneself. And so the hypocrite could be seen as one who will say one thing but act differently. But there is even more depth than that into the teachings of Jesus. For it is in this case, when one puts on the mask, they put on the mask of God. And they take on the role of God in trying to judge or to condemn. For Jesus said it is God alone who unveils sin, who reveals sin. It is God who lights the light upon our sins. It is Jesus then who comes and exposes our human sin. And therefore, it is not us to play God. It's not for us to take on that role. So now put yourself in a small town courtroom. And the jury selection process is taking place. Now it's a small town, so people know each other, so jury selection can be a little bit tricky. And so then, the one particular jury being questioned was a lifelong resident of the community. She was an elderly grandmother. And the prosecutor was interviewing her. He asks her, "Well, do you know me?" She responds by saying, "Yes. And you've been a great disappointment to me." "I see in your life how you cheat, how you manipulate others," and goes on to give a long list of character flaws. The lawyer is struck by this and doesn't know really how to respond. So he asks the question, "Do you know the defense attorney?" She says, "Yes, I do. I'm also disappointed in her. She used to babysit for us. And I've seen her as lazy and bigoted," and again goes into a long list of character flaws. When she's done, both lawyers are struck, not knowing what to say, but the judge is quick to speak up and says, "If you ask her if she knows me, you will be held in contempt." It is not for us to expose human sin, to point out the sinfulness of others. It is Jesus who exposes sin, who exposes those who feel a sense of self-righteousness, convinced of their own good standing, and all the while contrasting their goodness with the behavior of others. In the days of Jesus, there was a rabbinic teaching. And it said, "Judge your neighbor favorably, and you will be judged favorably by God." Jesus is highlighting this teaching that the people are aware of. That is their duty, to think the best of one another. As you look at the teachings of Jesus, it is this one that is probably most often neglected, most often broken. We have all been guilty of misjudging others in some form and in some way. And we have all suffered from the misjudgment of others about ourselves, but yet we still participate in this practice. Look upon one another favorably. We are to be merciful. And we recognize the difficulty of being strictly impartial with one another. And Jesus gives this bizarre and strange image of one having a log in their own eye, trying to then find the speck of dust in the eye of another. But there are those who are vocal in their criticisms. No one is good enough, except perhaps oneself. Look upon one another favorably. Something for us to focus on, to reflect on, to meditate on. Perhaps the first step is to gain greater understanding of one another. The more knowledge we gain, the more we understand. Ask the questions of, what has that person been through? What has he or she experienced? What hardships have been faced? What struggles and difficulties, what has their journey been like? What are we to look for in one another? As God would, as Jesus tells us, We are to look favorably and look for that underlying beauty of creation. Amen.